It's a bit sort of a time on the day after New Year. It's sometimes tricky trying to work out, should we do something Christmassy? Or should we do something New Year-y? Whatever that might be. And so I thought I'd kind of do a little bit of both and look at the bit of this Christmas story we don't often get to and look at what happens next. So after the exciting birth of Jesus and all the things that happened around then, obviously you have the angels arriving, you know, 9 months before to tell Mary and then Joseph about the birth of the baby. And then it seems that quite last minute they have to go down to Bethlehem for this tax census. And while they're there, the baby's born. It all seems quite hurried. There's all the excitement, of course. You can imagine for a new mum and dad having their baby arrive. Then there is that night the shepherds arrive. The angels who appeared in the skies above Bethlehem today in the town of David, a saviour's been born. And so the shepherds go. Then after that, we're told in Luke that on the eighth day, they take Jesus to the temple. He would be circumcised. They would make an offering. He would be officially named. That all happens about a week later. And in Luke, we're told of Anna and Simeon, who come to see Jesus at that time there in the temple. And then after all of that excitement, what was the next year like for Mary and Joseph? What was the year after that? So these first 1, 2, 3 years of Jesus' life, what was it like for Mary and Joseph? And we looked in those verses of the wise men, the magi who visited. And by the time they arrived, we're told in verse 11 that they came to a house. And there the young child was. So they're not using the word babe anymore. They're now using the word a child. So he's a little bit older. Maybe at least a few months old. Maybe a little bit more than that. And so on. And these wise men visit. We'll think a little bit more about them in a moment. And then all of these things that then happen in the rest of the chapter seem to follow in that kind of time frame afterwards. It's a few months at least after the birth of Jesus. And these things then happen in it. And as we look at the first year or two for Mary and Joseph, maybe we'll pick up some things we can see for ourselves too in the year ahead. What was the year or two like for Mary and Joseph? Well, they saw the hostility of the enemy. We're told in verse 3, when Herod heard of the visit of the Magi, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was a vindictive, angry man, was paranoid about this, that, and everything. He murdered several of his own children, several of his own wives, and so on. He was afraid of everyone. He had so much power and was so frightened of losing it. He hears of the Magi coming, and he's troubled. Now, the word is agitated, I think, like a spin cycle on a washing machine. That's Herod. Oh, he's jumpy. He's agitated. He's on adrenaline high as he's worried about this. And he hopes, with his little subterfuge, to send the Magi off to find the Messiah. And then they're going to come back, verse 8, and tell him where he is. And when they don't, they're warned in a dream, verse 12, to not go back to Herod. So they go back another way. And we're told in verse 16 that Herod was exceedingly angry. And the word is he was completely consumed with rage. Just overwhelmed, overpowered by this. And in verse 16 we're told that he sent forth, presumably sending out soldiers, to put to death the male children who were in Bethlehem and its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time determined from the wise men. So maybe they saw the star in the east. Maybe it took them some time to get there, maybe months, maybe even a year or two. And that's why Herod then uses that timing to put to death these children. It was an evil act, a barbaric crime, to put to death these defenseless little babies and toddlers. It was a despicable atrocity that happened, wasn't it? In verse 18, there's this quote from Jeremiah of the voices weeping and mourning for her children. It's heartbreaking, isn't it, to see what happened in this first year or two after the birth of Jesus in the life of Mary and Joseph. You can go on websites these days and find newspapers that were printed on the day of your birth. You can get them reprinted. I've given you some of them to be having with birthday presents and things like that. Who would want this? Maybe you first of all try and find out what is going to be on the front page, or was on the front page the day you were born, and whether you want it. Because there's an awful lot of stuff on the front page that perhaps you don't really want associated with your birth, do you? So it is here. Who would want to buy this newspaper from around the time of the birth of Jesus? Even if it's months after, you know the way. But who would want this? This is awful, isn't it? This is so barbaric, so atrocious, what is happening. And it's not just something that happened in the year 1 or 2 AD. But sadly, in all honesty, it won't be long in 2022 before there are some things on our headlines that we don't want to be there. It'll only be a matter of time before there's something like that. Something horrifying. Some atrocious crime that we just want to close our eyes to. Something that grieves us and causes weeping and heartbreak, isn't it? Won't be too long before it happens in the new year. But it's not just another example of human cruelty that was due to Herod's anger and paranoia and the like. We see through it as well that it was an attack of Satan. Satan was using Herod, and particularly perhaps that phrase in verse 16 where it talks of Herod being overwhelmed with anger, perhaps has also partly this idea that this was thrown upon Herod. And Herod, yes, he's the one who does these horrifying things, but he's also a bit of a pawn in Satan's hands. And he does what Satan wants to do. And there's that strange sort of picture of it in Revelation of a beast who wants to devour this newborn child who's just come. It's not just Herod. It's the beast. It's the enemy. It's Satan who wants to destroy the Christ, and he's using Herod to do it. And so in the first year or two of Mary and Joseph's life looking after Jesus, they see the hostility of the enemy as Satan uses Herod to try and destroy the Christ, the Messiah. And there are these children who are the casualties caught in the crosshairs. But in 2022, we know the case. Satan is still at work. He prowls round like a lion, seeking who he might devour. And in the next year, Satan's going to do more. He's going to do awful, horrifying things. And he's going to use people in those tasks through people's cruelty and brutality. Satan's going to oppose Christ's kingdom. He's going to persecute. There's going to be more and more persecution in the year ahead, isn't there? Frightening things that happen to God's people as Satan opposes Christ. And in lots of different ways, Satan will be on the attack against us in the year ahead. I guess that's not quite what you think of when you wish somebody Happy New Year, but it's something truthful, isn't it, to be aware of in the year ahead. Satan will try and tempt us and lead us astray. He'll attack us in one way after another, seeking for us to leave the narrow way and to turn away from Christ. Satan will seek to cause trouble in churches and in outreach and in all kinds of things, won't he? That's what will happen in the year ahead. A second. Again, not a very positive thing. Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. Don't worry. What else did Mary and Joseph find in this year of two or looking after Jesus? They found trouble. For them, they escape the bloodshed. They leave before those heartbreaking, harrowing scenes of the death, the murder of those children in Bethlehem. They're told to flee in verse 13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt." For them, they escape the worst of things. But let's not make light of their trouble too. Who can imagine, those of you who've had children, who can imagine being told when you've got a couple of months old that you've got to flee? Leave your home. Leave everything behind you and journey 175 miles into a foreign country. Can you imagine doing that with a newborn baby? Journeying, maybe by camel, or donkey, or whatever it might be, or walking. It's about 100 miles to the border of Egypt from Bethlehem. It's a good 75 miles till we get to a city. You can imagine doing that with a young baby. Then going to live in a foreign country. And typically, Egypt, of course, was viewed as their old enemy as well, wasn't it? That was the place they'd had to escape from, with all of its slavery and its brutality and its bondage and its cruelty to God's people. Actually, as the time had gone by, Israel was no longer really their number one enemy. And actually, through the course of time, particularly in between the Testaments, quite a few of the Jews had gone to Egypt already. There was quite a large Jewish community in some of the cities, especially in places like Alexandria. But still, Mary and Joseph have got a journey to a foreign country, journeying with only what they could carry with them. And they go down to a foreign place where everyone would talk a different language, a very different culture to their own, even if they did find other Jews when they were there, maybe even family and so on, but who knows? Can you imagine the trouble that was, the turmoil, the anxiety that went through the minds of a young mum and dad having to journey down to Egypt? We get jittery enough, don't we, when we have financial troubles and when there's talk in the business of having to lay people off. We get worried, don't we, about so many things like that. Well, here Mary and Joseph are having to leave everything. Family, home, livelihood, everything behind them, just to take what they could to hurry that night. We're told verse 14, he left that night, woke straight away after the dream. They're out of there as fast as they could. Go. That's their trouble. And they live then as refugees there. We're told by Jesus, aren't we, in this world you will have trouble. It says in John 16, verse 33. And again, in 2022, I'm afraid, there'll be trouble. There'll be difficulties of one sort or another coming our way. We're thinking a little bit about what to do about that. One last negative thing. You get in this story the impression that Mary and Joseph are constantly being caught on the hop, aren't they? For Mary and Joseph, everything is so unpredictable, isn't it? They've gone to Bethlehem because of the tax. Their baby's been born while they're there. Has to be laid in the manger. You know, everything sounds so unplanned. So surprising. Everything, you know, they're just caught constantly trying to keep up with a changing situation that's going on. Then the months have gone by. They seem to have settled down for it a bit. Maybe they're living in a house. Jesus, of course, is growing up a little bit. And so on. He's a little toddler or whatever now. But then these things come into Mary and Joseph's life. Just bam, one after another. And Mary and Joseph are just continually guessing, aren't they? Continually surprised by what's happened. Joseph is woken up in the middle of the night to tell that there's somebody who wants to destroy the child. What a nightmare to wake up from. quick, we've got to go. He's got to get Mary and Jesus up. That night they set off straight for Egypt. They head down, they've got to find somewhere to stay and so on while they're there. Then they have another dream sometime later. Maybe months have gone past, maybe even a year or two has gone past, and Joseph has another dream. Arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So he arose. There's Joseph obeying. He gets Mary and Jesus up again, and they journey on. Perhaps it's not quite so hurried this time, and they head back to the land of Israel. Verse 22, when they arrive, or they're heading, it seems, towards the borders of Israel and Judea, they then realize, they see some of the new headlines, yes, Herod's dead, but who's taken over in his place? Archelaus, one of his sons, who was probably even worse. He never had the power of his dad, but he did have his paranoia. And so they hear that there's a different sort of leader, not quite a king really, in Judea, Archelaus. And now they're perplexed by this new news, and we're told Joseph was afraid to go. So they're on their way back, they hear this. There's even still another frightening king or leader there in Judea. And so instead, warned by another dream, goodness me, that's the third one. You're frightened to go to sleep, is Joseph, isn't he? Because every time he goes to sleep, it seems something, God tells him something unexpected. And oh, it's so perplexing and difficult. And God tells him instead to go to Galilee. So they head to Nazareth, which Luke tells us, not Matthew, but Luke tells us that's where they were from in the first place. But for Mary and Joseph, their plans are constantly changing, aren't they? They were living in Bethlehem, then they've got to go to Egypt, then they think they go to Judea, and they can't go to Judea, they've got to go to Galilee, and so on. It's constantly changing for them. Everything's so unpredictable. Everything's so unplanned, isn't it? And you've got to feel sorry, haven't you, for Mary and Joseph in their situation they're facing there. But it's kind of the same for us in 2022. Sometimes people like all their New Year's resolutions and all the plans of the things they're going to do. Well, James tells us in James chapter 4, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. How can you say what's going to happen in the next year? For us, 2022 will be unpredictable. We're full of things that we've got no idea are happening until they do happen. And we're going to be the ones who are caught on the hop. There's three things we see in the life of Mary and Joseph. Three things that are likely in the year ahead. Sadly, all three things that sound a little bit negative, don't they? But so we'll pause for a minute, we'll sing another hymn, and then we'll come back and see if there's some positive things that Mary and Joseph can teach us as well. So let's sing our... Please take a seat again. And let's see if we can find some encouragements then, some positive things that happened in Mary and Joseph's life in their first couple of years looking after Jesus, and that might encourage us too in the year ahead. Firstly, we see as well the encouragements there are for our faith. As we've thought about already, Mary and Joseph are going to be put through the wrangler, aren't they? After the birth of Jesus, it's not just dealing with a newborn. Some of you might remember what that was like. But this is for them, it's far worse, isn't it? The situations that they're having to go through. You wouldn't wish it upon anyone, would you? To have all this upheaval, all this uncertainty, all of these tragedies that seem to be so close and around them. But before those things happen, God sent the Magi, didn't he? So after all the things that happened just around the birth of Jesus, then there's a bit of quietish time, apart from the baby crying, needing feeding and changing, all that. But it's relatively quiet in that sense. And then before all of this upheaval that's going to happen, God sent the Magi. They probably arrived a few months after Jesus was born. And through all of those times, the Magi come, and as we're thinking of with the children, they come to worship. They come in. Mary and Joseph wouldn't know all the things that happened with Herod and so on, how the wise men first went there. All they know is there's a knock on the door one day, and there are the Magi standing outside. Don't know how many. It certainly was enough to trouble Herod, so I reckon it's probably more than three. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a big entourage of these travelling people, you know, who trace their ancestry back to the days of empires like Babylon and Daniel's time and the like. And there's this strange group who arrive there on their doorsteps. And they come into the house. They see the young child and they bow down and worship him. What an encouragement that must have been. What a confirmation for Mary and Joseph. They were told they were going to be bringing up the Son of God. And yet everything was pretty quiet, really, wasn't it? After the birth of that baby. And in God's perfect timing, the Magi come and bow down and worship. How that must have helped Mary and Joseph in their faith, wouldn't it? We're told in Luke, after the visit of the shepherds and Simeon and Anna, we're told of Mary that she stored these things in her heart. And it's no doubt this was one more thing she stored in her heart, wasn't it? One more thing that God allowed to happen, and Mary stores it up in her heart. For it was a provision for the days ahead. Here was an encouragement to help them, because soon after the leaving of the Magi, things were going to go downhill pretty fast. And they're really going to have a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulties in the next few months, weren't they? And there God gave them this encouragement to help them when the going was going to get very tough. Also in God's providence was that the Magi came with these gifts, three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, we could guess how helpful those things were. Because here Mary and Joseph are going to leave in a moment in the middle of the night and head to Egypt, where they're going to have to live for months, if not a year or two. It's no doubt helpful that they were given these treasures just then. They didn't need them before. The shepherds didn't bring treasures, they didn't have any. But they didn't need them then. Now God gives them these hugely rich gifts just at the right time, and we can guess how useful they would come in to finance things on their journey, to help perhaps find them a place where they could rent somewhere to live in when they got down to Egypt, in one of the cities and so on. We see here these encouragements for Mary and Joseph and their faith. Sure, they were going to go through some sleepless nights, weren't they? And they wouldn't be the first ones, maybe you in the last year, have at some point thought, oh no, what on earth is happening? And thought, I just can't deal with anything else going wrong. You can imagine Mary and Joseph being a bit like that, can't you? Mary turning around to Joseph and going, we can't do this. How can we cope? Whatever, you can imagine them saying that, couldn't you? But here they were with their encouragements. And perhaps in their times of desperation, Joseph could console Mary and vice versa and say, hang on a minute, look, there were these encouragements. Remember what happened in the past. Remember the visit of the shepherds. Remember what the angels said. Remember the Magi and how they came to worship. God's got this. They could comfort each other. They could encourage each other, couldn't they? And then God guided them where they had to go. God told them they got to go to Egypt. And God appeared to them in a dream later on, telling them they could go home and so on. And God guided them into what they would need, where they should go. God was there with his encouragement and his help for them, in spite of all those horrifying things that happened. And so too for us. In 2022, there will be troubles. There'll be hostility from the evil one. There'll be all kinds of unexpected, uncertain things that come our way. But there'll also be encouragements that God gives for our faith, if we have eyes to see them. And there may be things that happen very close. One thing happens and then another thing. And sometimes we need to just sit and pause and think, actually, where's God going with this? Is there anything that's happened there? Perhaps sometimes it may be helpful with somebody else. We imagine perhaps Mary and Joseph encouraging each other and reminding each other. Well, that's part of the reason we're together as a church, isn't it? That we might encourage each other And so perhaps when one of our number gets hit by uncertainties and difficulties, there might be somebody else in the fellowship who can come alongside and say, hang on a minute, what about this? Could this encourage you? And so on. That's why we're together, isn't it? In that. And God too will help us and guide us. Maybe we won't get quite so many dreams as Joseph. Actually, I don't think we want quite so many dreams as Joseph had either. But God will guide us in his own way. Maybe not with an angel talking to us in a dream. But he'll guide us in the days ahead. And he'll show us the way to go. And he'll give us encouragements. And he'll provide for us, morning by morning, those new mercies that we see. A second positive thing we see in these verses is what happens in the first couple of years of the life of the Lord Jesus as Mary and Joseph are looking after him. We see the fulfillment of God's promises. Fulfilled is the word of the chapter. You can look through it afterwards and you'll find numerous times Matthew will just drop this little word in. This happened to fulfill. To fulfill. To fulfill. Herod's actions seem brutal and out of control. He's a berserk, paranoid freak sometimes in the things he does. Mary and Joseph are continually surprised. Everything seems so haphazard as one event after another overtakes them and they're left guessing as to what to do next and having to change their plans. And yet Matthew pieces things together and says it's all fulfilling what God has said. Mary and Joseph are continually surprised, but God isn't. Never once in this chapter. Matthew chapter 2 is God surprised. No, God is fulfilling what he said. And so Matthew tells us, as they escaped to Egypt, verse 15, this fulfilled what God said. Even Herod's atrocious acts in verse 17, Matthew said that fulfilled what God had said in Jeremiah. Even when it seems that Mary and Joseph are journeying back towards the land of Israel and they're starting to head right to Judea and God says, no, carry on the other way, head up north to Nazareth. It seems so unexpected for them, but verse 23 says this fulfilled what God had said. God is carrying out his purposes. God is not surprised by any of the things that shake us or shook Mary and Joseph in this chapter. And so, in the year ahead, in 2022, we can be confident that God will fulfill his purposes. That's a good thing, isn't it, for us to think about in our faith. We don't know what the year ahead will hold, what international events may happen, what things may happen in this country, what things may happen to individuals in the year ahead. And we haven't got a clue, have we? Even what tomorrow may bring. In this year ahead, we're going to be completely and continually surprised and caught on the back foot and having to change our plans and the like. But in 2022, God will not be surprised. Nothing will happen in this year ahead that will catch God on the hop. And he's got no idea what he's doing. No. He'll be fulfilling his purposes. He'll be carrying out exactly what he's planned. Where it might be written down in his word for us to know, it might not be. It might be written in his unseen plans, if you like. But he's going to do exactly what he's purposed. And we seek his guidance. We want to be involved in fulfilling God's purposes. We want to be those willing instruments, willing servants of his, don't we, who do his will. And so in the year ahead, we'll have to pray and ask God to guide us. And he might do it in very strong ways like he does for Joseph. It might not. It might just be the case of us piecing together what God has said in his word and trying to make sensible decisions as we want to play our part in God's purposes. Joseph had his helpful dreams to direct him. But as this year begins to unfold in front of us, we'll seek God's guidance. And we need that confident faith that God will fulfill his purposes. One last thing. We see in these first couple of years, for Mary and Joseph looking after a baby Jesus, we see victory for God's king. There, not long after Jesus is born, comes this brutal attack. And we're told in the verses, verse 13, they want to destroy the child. The child, the Holy One who's going to be born, who's going to save his people from their sins. There are those who want to destroy him, God said through the angel to Joseph. And God thwarts the plan of Satan. The Magi escape. They head back to their home country, one direction. And then God sends the angel to Joseph in a dream. And Joseph and Mary and the child escape in a different direction down to Egypt. There are these poor babies of Bethlehem who are caught in Herod's crosshairs. They're killed. They're the casualties of war, aren't they? But thank goodness that the war is won. What happens here with the babies being killed, it's horrible, isn't it? To hear of these casualties. But at least the war is won. It'd have been indescribably worse, wouldn't it, had the war been lost at that moment. For not just those poor babies to be killed, but had Satan succeeded in killing the Christ. Thank goodness the newborn king escapes. And he goes down to Egypt. And out of Egypt I called my son, says God. What's going on? I brought him out of Egypt, a bit like he brought the Israelites out of Egypt in the Old Testament. Now he's brought his own son out of Egypt. His son, who's going to be the saviour. God has still got this under control. God is still working out his victory. And they head back. They choose not to go to Judea, but they go up north to Nazareth. But in the end, he would return to Judea. Not now. The baby king's not right yet. He can't take on those and fulfill all of those things yet. He goes to Nazareth. He lives there as a child, grows up, becomes an adult, begins his ministry. But in the end, he'll go back to Judea. He'll go back and confront the king. Not King Herod, but the king of this age, prince of this age. The grown-up Jesus would return to Judea, near Bethlehem, to Jerusalem. And he would face yet another brutal attack of Satan. And he would defeat him. Here in this escape to Egypt, it's just stage one. It's a temporary retreat down to Egypt so that the Messiah would escape. So that the war could carry on. So that Jesus could come back and victoriously defeat Satan. And so even in these years that are described here in Matthew chapter 2, God's working out his victory for his king. Looking forward to that ultimate victory on the cross as he would die and rise again, how he'd defeat Satan and ascend into heaven. And so in 2022, it'll be a year of victory for God's king. There will be no setbacks. I don't mean anything negative won't happen in God's people or God's church or something like that. But there'll be nothing that defeats the king, Jesus. Even if there may be persecution and troubles and all kinds of things happening to God's people, this year will be a year of victory for God's king. Because there is no other option. There's no one who can possibly force Jesus back, force something against his will to happen. It's a year of victory for God's King. He will build his church, as we've been looking at in that last point. He'll be carrying out his purposes. We don't know. Maybe 2022 will be the year that Jesus returns. If his purposes in this world come to final fulfillment and everything happens that God has ordained, then maybe there will be that final victory for God's King as Jesus returns in 2022. We don't know. It may be, may not. But what we know in the year is he'll build his church. He'll fulfill his purposes. His gospel will carry on going out. And everyone, every single person he's chosen to become a Christian this year will. Every one of his chosen elect that he is going to gather to himself this year, he will. A victory. It'll be a year of victory for God's King. And so what's our purpose? Or to come like the mysterious magi and worship the King. We don't know what God's purposes might be. We don't quite know how he'll build his church. We don't necessarily know what kind of things he has planned in the year ahead. But we come like the magi and bow down and worship him. As the year begins, as the year carries on with all its ups and downs, we seek to be like the Magi, to worship him, to seek to follow him and the way that he guides, to look for those encouragements, that grace, that provision he makes for us, and trust him in the days ahead.